Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Hey everybody, happy birthday to us. Fallacious Trump is 3. This is the second of the birthday presents that we're giving you. This is the second episode of our QAnon book club. I must admit, I got a little bit cross during this episode at just how pathetically easy these apparent proofs of Q were to debunk, and how impossible it seems for any person with even any kind of intelligence who thinks about it for a few seconds can be taken in by any of this stuff. So hopefully that is enjoyable to you. One of our patrons, Aya Sakurai, said this was the best book club episode that we've done so far. So hopefully it's an enjoyable one. If you haven't listened to the first episode, which should also be on your feed, released the same day as this, I mean, you should listen to that one because it gives a good overview of what the people who believe in this stuff think it is and believe. So if you haven't listened to that, go and listen to that first. But this one actually delves into some of the proofs that they think show that they're definitely right, to the point where they're kind of, it's mathematically impossible for them to be wrong as far as they're concerned. Spoiler, we disagree. Anyway, I really hope that you enjoy this episode.
They were predictively programming us, and that's what they're doing right now with the vaccines.
That is clearly President Trump giving us a message.
This virus was created by the cabal, specifically Bill Gates.
Those of us who have followed Q since the beginning will be here to help you make sense of the coming events.
Hello and welcome to our bonus series, where we talk about Q and Invitation to the Great Awakening and how just bullshit it is, and also crazy. Both wrong and insane.
Yeah. And also how it kind of keeps us on our toes fallacy-wise, because you're kind of, it's the Gish Gallop, generally, isn't it? Because as you're going through, you're thinking, wait a minute, it's about four just whizzed by there. Hang on, I'm going to have to unpick it. And it is the Gish Gallop of ideas that just come at you thick and fast in the hope that something will stick, or just the sheer weight of how many things are coming by, which is appropriate for this upcoming chapter, will convince you of the truth of it.
And in fact, we had to split this chapter into two, because I am not one to just let a bit of bullshit go past without commenting on it or researching it. And there was too much in one chapter for one. We'd be here for hours.
Yeah. We would go mad. We would go insane. Yeah. But yeah.
So this is part. Well, this is, it's because, as we said last time, it's split up into sections that are written by different people. And so there's a very brief kind of quote from General Michael Flynn from a speech that he gave, which wasn't about QAnon, which they have called General Michael Flynn describing the QAnon movement.
Exactly. Yeah. But they kind of, which sets it up for the next chapter, which is all about the proof of that Q exists and who he is. So they're kind of going, well, here you go. This is proof that he's describing the QAnon movement. They've just picked a chunk out of his thing, which opens with, we have an army of digital soldiers.
Yeah. And so he was talking to a youth group, a youth, Young Americans for Freedom or some bullshit like that.
Right.
And he was just talking about people using social media and how it means that you don't have to rely on mainstream media anymore, because mainstream media is all fake news anyway. And so, you know, now you can tell people what you think about stuff and how great that is. And the fact that the Trump supporters like using it to, you know, spread their bullshit instead of mainstream media is great for them.
Yeah.
That's it.
And that,
Mention QAnon, doesn't talk about anything that's related to QAnon at all.
No.
But yeah.
They're just going, that's us, that is.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, and to lend it some sort of semblance of integrity and truth, there's a link to the YouTube of Michael Flynn's speech.
Uh-huh.
And that's the next chapter is filled with things like that, where they just show stuff and go, there you go. And in fact, I popped over to QAnon.pub earlier on. The pubs are opening again in the UK tomorrow. So I thought I'll just nip to the QAnon pub. Because it did reference in this chapter, it says, yeah, if you go to 8chan, well, you can't now because it doesn't exist anymore.
It doesn't exist, yeah.
And, you know, it says it's a bit, what does it say? It's a bit of a zoo and it's hard for newbies to navigate. It's a fucking insane asylum. That's what it is. But at least if you go to QAnon.pub, you just get Q's stuff.
Q drops. Yeah.
They're just picking things up, a bit like this speech, and shoving it on and then going, there, told you so. Or,
see?
Or, see, this is going to happen. And what? And you just have to decipher it.
Yeah.
And that's the proof of it.
Because there's such a lot of that in this chapter, we've skimmed past the Michael Flynn thing and we've cut this chapter into two. So there's going to be one next time. And this is the first half of the chapter that is called When Will It Become Mathematically Impossible?
Yeah.
And that's the end of that question.
Yeah.
The question that I think they're going for is to ignore that Q is true. That's what they're aiming at.
Because in the introductory paragraph, it says, who is Q? That's the first question we usually get asked. And the end of that paragraph says, you might say that it is mathematically impossible for him not to be who he says he is.
Yeah.
Which, once you've deciphered all the double negatives, they're basically saying it's mathematically possible for him to
it's
be who he
like definite that he is who he says he is.
Yeah.
Not that he says who he is at any point.
No.
Hence the fucking anonymous part of his name.
Exactly, yeah. So he does. Yeah. But don't take our word for it. Do the math. So what
Yeah,
I'm
this is
expecting
a big thing with the Q movement and this kind of thing is don't be sheeple.
Yeah.
Do your research. Of course, they're not expecting anyone to actually do the research. They're expecting everyone to accept what they say as gospel.
Yeah.
But if you start by saying that, that makes people think, oh, well, if I did look into it, it would probably just support whatever these people say. Because otherwise, why would they tell me to do my own research?
Exactly.
But you won't be surprised to find I have done a bit of research. and I haven't taken their word for it.
No.
So
on the face of it, when it came up to that mathematically impossible thing, I was thinking, oh, this is going to be good. It's a bit like that proof of the mathematical proof that we're not the only ones intelligent life forms, but we're not the only kind of, you know, sentient beings in the universe. There's a mathematical proof that involves pool balls and, you know, that kind of clustering of stuff.
Drake equation, is that right?
Yeah.
Well,
it just says, you know, it's mathematically impossible for there not to be people on other planets or sentient beings.
In a weird parallel, that equation, that proof, uses a lot of assumptions. You basically have to plug in numbers to a formula and assume most of those numbers like as guesses, and then you come up with an answer that says, yeah, definitely there's other people out there.
One of them is if we don't assume that we're alone, then we won't be alone, weirdly.
And in a similar way, Q's proofs need quite a lot of assumptions to be made.
Mm.
So it starts by saying, what is a proof? That's the kind of headline, beginning of the chapter. This chapter is written by two people called Red Pill 78 and Space Shot 76. Who both have YouTube channels. And I would say this Patreon bonus is playing havoc with my Google kind of analytic stuff where they suggest things to me.
If you watch this, you might now also I'm be looking interested at, in...
Exactly. That's the problem. I might have to get a special different computer that I could look this stuff up on.
Yeah.
Just so that it doesn't affect my daily browsing, because, I'm going to get turned into...
Or go via the Tor browser.
Bullshit.
Which is, ironic, because that's the only way that you can get to QAnon as well, safely, without being shut down. Yeah.
So they start with, what is a proof? In its simplest form, a proof is an argument for the validity of a fact. So they're wrong immediately. because that's not a proof.
No.
A proof is an argument that establishes the validity of a fact.
Yeah.
A proof is an argument that means you can say that fact is true. It's not just an argument in favour of the fact. That's what an argument is.
Yeah.
That's not a proof.
Yeah.
So we're starting off from not understanding proof, which bodes well.
Yeah, see, yes, because actually throughout their proofs are pretty much that. They're after the fact. They're not establishing a fact. Okay.
And then it goes on to say, we are going to run you through some of the best Q proofs. Because the thing is, again, a big thing in the Q movement is these proofs. There's pages where it's just kind of annotated, crazy red string tape pinned from thing to thing connections between elements to say, all this is true, we promise. And here's our evidence for it. And so the Q proofs are what convince people when they first start looking into it. Supposedly every person who is like a follower of Q started out a skeptic, because they're all, genuine, like, scientific thinking people. Mm-hmm. And they were just so convinced by all of the YouTube videos they watched and the proofs that they read that, it can't not be true.
No.
And that's what this chapter is essentially telling you, is that, once you look into it, once you hear our best proofs, these are the things that they are absolutely sure about and will definitely convince you, then, you'll also be converted.
Yeah.
So keep that in mind as we go through, that these are the best things they could come up with.
Yeah. Yeah.
They're so shit it makes me angry. It's not.
I can tell. The red mist is
spoiler,
ascending,
spoiler
isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. But it does start off with the, not only does it bring down the ire of the establishment, it says this line of research brings with it the ire of the establishment. It brings the ire of Jim. Thank you. You see, so in this, it is very odd, because it basically, they kind of say something that is true. The claims we make and the implications therein require bodies of evidence which support those claims as legitimate.
Yeah.
And you go, well, yeah.
It does say that. That's
right.
Fair.
We're up for that. And then it says, when we first learned about this, a great number of us were very excited, because we've been researching this type of content for many years. Really? This line of research brings with it the ire of the establishment. So when you're doing this research, the establishment doesn't like it. They don't like you looking into this stuff. And Q was no exception. However, early on, there was little pushback, as the media wanted to steer clear as possible. So there was little pushback about proving that this is true, because Q's messages...
Because the media didn't want to give them any kind of air at all.
Yeah, because they're crazies.
Yeah.
And what's the, beyond... And finally, a whole bunch of crazy people are spending their time on the internet. It's not news, really, is it? It's been like that ever since it got invented.
So, as long as Q has been posting, it says... Which is since November of 2017.
Yeah.
Anons on the board. So the anons are the people who follow Q and decipher the cryptic messages that he puts out. Have been taking these posts, combining them with tweets by POTUS, along with news and real world events, in order to create proofs. That's true. They have been doing that.
Yeah.
If you use proofs to mean arguments in favour of Q, not evidence that proves Q is real.
Yeah. So there's our first assumption on their part. They're making this assumption. Let's assume that there is we're not the only sentient beings in the universe. Therefore, if we assume that to create proofs, what you do is take Q's posts. It's a bit like little ingredients. You take a bit of the post, you combine them with tweets by POTUS, Trump, along with a sprinkler dash of news and real world events, and in fact, there's a. See, if I was a Q a conspiracy theorist, between those two ands,
that
I
would must say mean something.
There's something missed. There's a gap there, where and real world events in order to create proofs. So they're taking the predictions of Nostradamus. They're finding something that matches via somebody else saying, "Ooh, this matches," and thereby creating a proof.
Yeah,
cast solid gold, not cast iron, solid gold.
No, and it says these crumbs, the clues that Q leaves have are taken with other anons and arranged into pictographic memes, because everyone knows memes are all true.
Yeah,
have given us the body of evidence required to establish with statistical certainty.
Yeah.
The legitimacy of the anonymous Q.
No, that isn't the body of evidence that is required to establish statistical certainty. Some pictographic memes made out of crumbs taken from this guy and mixed with other untruths doesn't make truth.
So,
let's
get going. Because
we haven't even
because they start actually talking about the proofs. For some reason, they have a section that's called "Try Explaining This to Your Mum," which doesn't talk about explaining it to your mum.
No,
it just reads it through.
It's starts,
yeah, it just goes into
through.
It.
So if you try to explain, that a faceless unnamed person on an internet research board is dropping crumbs for us to decipher, which is essentially direct communication for the president, they'll then tell them that the end goal of these communications is to free ourselves from the deep state. You might dismiss that and you go, but then they, So these proofs must be pretty damn convincing.
Absolutely.
You know, they're rock solid.
Here we go.
Yeah.
For myself, it says, the first proof took place on October 5th, 2017, before the Q posts even began.
So the existence
That's
of
pretty
Q,
impressive.
Yeah. The existence of Q, the proof of the existence of Q was... a month before
Q started posting on 8chan or 4chan actually he started on 4chan
so
the president and the first lady were hosting a dinner at the White House for military leaders and their wives during the photo op with the press. Prior to the dinner, President Trump asked cryptically of the reporters in the room, do you guys know what this represents? Maybe it's the calm before the storm. Could be. The calm before the storm. The press, stymied as they usually were, in brackets, by the bullshit Trump usually spouts.
Yeah. Asked repeatedly, because they're
stymied. Asked repeatedly what he meant.
Yeah. Not like, what the fuck are you talking about? That isn't because we're stymied. It means because you're talking bollocks.
Well, they when asked directly, what storm, Mr. President? President Trump answered flatly, you'll find out. No one could have known that at that exact moment, except for the president and the great military minds in that room, exactly what he meant. But many of us had an instinct that something big was coming.
Yeah, all right. No shit.
So here is your first
calm before the storm.
Yeah. Yeah. So here's your first proof. That was October 5th, 2017. Yep. November 2nd, 2017.
Yeah.
Q posted a message that for the first time echoed the exact same phrase by ending the post with the calm before the storm.
No, they've got to be one and the same.
Yeah, well, there you go. I mean, that's it. You don't need any more, surely.
No.
A month after Trump said something, someone claiming to have inside White House knowledge and top-level military clearance tweeted a thing which had the same kind of well-known phrase as Trump had said a month before.
And was on the TV, interviewed, and said it several times in between... Probably, and it was shown lots on the news. And people going,
I'm sold.
What's he talking about? Yeah.
Yeah.
And not only is that, but there's a strangely 1980s fax version of the picture of the, TV screen.
The copy that we've got of this is quite poorly photocopied.
And yeah, true to the proper sense of
entirely possible, yeah,
of the dark web. Yeah. Yeah, so that's it. That's the first proof.
He tweeted the same thing a month after.
Yeah.
Trump said it.
That's it.
Uh-huh.
And it's a fact that something truly great was happening was evident.
Yes.
For those fortunate enough to have heard the president on that day and then see the post that followed, the fact that something truly great was happening was evident. Well, it isn't. It's not evident of anything other than the guy watched it on the telly and then wrote it down.
Yeah.
A month later.
Yeah. And that's going to be a bit of a theme.
Yep.
So, Trump, Q posted on November 1st, 2017. His post 34 began with the heading Q Clearance Patriot and included a message to my fellow Americans.
Oh, my God.
An introduction often used by presidents.
That's only ever said by presidents.
Exactly.
Isn't it? And I think I've heard Frank Zappa say it a couple of times. And anybody on Saturday Night Live or people just addressing people in a kind of funny way at a gathering of American people. Yeah.
So a person claiming to have top secret military clearance by calling themselves Q Clearance Patriot started a post by saying, my fellow Americans. That's, again, I don't know if I need to explain this. Not proof of anything.
We're going to start next week's episode with that.
Uh-huh.
My fellow Americans.
Moments later in post 35, another message regarding the course of operations yet to come was dropped. This was signed off with 41020.
Oh, my God.
It didn't take long for many on the board to realise that using the A1Z26 cipher, which substitutes letters for their numbers in the order of the alphabet,
that
meant DJT.
There you go.
Which are the initials of the president.
Yep.
Again.
Also, the initials of dead jumping
but
trees.
Even if we assume that that particular DJT is definitely the president, that you don't need top secret military clearance to know his initials or how to do a simple substitution cipher to turn it into numbers.
Exactly.
That doesn't prove anything.
No. Oh, no, it proves clearly that that's the guy. It is Trump. Because only Trump would say Q Clearance Patriot and sign it DJT.
It also doesn't prove anything. When another post 791 in February 2018, ended with, for some reason, a repeated line which said protect 6/14/46, which is Trump's birth date. Again, publicly available information. These are the kinds of things someone who likes Trump or has some interest in Trump or wants to troll people who have some interest in Trump might write.
They're not proof of anything. Or someone who's making up shit for the gullible to believe that something is going on, or for people who, say, have read the Illuminati trilogy and believe that something is going on. You just kind of fit into that. If you are... what Q is the internet version of Banksy, isn't he? He's this kind of hidden guy who's making wry comments on the political status quo at other people's expense. If you read it in that way, you kind of go, oh, actually, yeah, it's quite funny. You know.
So they reckon he started that post with Q plus instead of Q.
Ooh.
And they reckon, the Q people, the anons, that means that post was done by Trump.
Oh, okay. Because it's Q plus, not just...
Not just
ordinary Q.
Their evidence for that is the fact that he put protect his birth date twice.
Okay. What? Right.
That is the end of evidence. There is no more...
Oh, that's okay. What does it mean?
Well, it followed a Bible quote.
Yeah.
So we know it's definitely not Trump. I mean, that's, if anything is evidence,
yeah,
the fact that he quoted a specific Bible verse means it's definitely not Trump. Because when Trump was asked absolutely outright, what's your favorite Bible verse? He couldn't name one. So we know this isn't Trump. But yeah, the Bible quote was from Jeremiah, and it said, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. And then it followed the Protect 6:14-46. So the Q people, the Anons, say, although in the Bible it's a message from God to the exiles, in this context, obviously,
it's
a message directly from the president talking to the Anons, saying that, you know, he's got plans for you.
Oh, okay, the Patriots are firmly in control, right. Got plans, they're being carried about.
You don't need
about.
To worry.
There's nothing to worry about.
We're taking care of the evil cabal.
Yeah.
I mean,
they got all of that.
Yeah.
They extracted all of that from something that was
Jeremiah 29:11.
Yeah, written in the second or third century.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, which mentioned, you know, the evil cabal taking over not the country, but the entire world. Okay. Right. So,
again, all of this is stuff Q has posted that has, it's not hidden information, it's not secret, it's not predictive in any way. It's publicly available information about Trump in a bit of a weird code.
Yeah, to give it a little, you know, early on, he's just working it out, isn't he? Going, well, how much of a code have I got to use? Can I just put DJT? Well, no, let's put it in numbers, because numerology, that'll get them.
So we've, the next thing, I mean, and now we're getting into the real kind of evidence.
Oh, okay, right.
Trump, on February 21st, 2018, talked to the students of Marjory Stoneman Douglas High, which had had a school shooting earlier that month. Because he is a subhuman with no real emotion or empathy, he was given a list of talking points.
Yeah, yeah.
Which news cameras managed to get a shot of, including number 5 on his list was, I hear you, because he had to be reminded to sound like a human.
Yeah.
You know, because people who are upset that their friends have died and that their children have died might want to hear the president say, you know, I'm hearing what you're saying.
Yeah,
we're going to do something about it.
Yeah, exactly. Well,
that kind of thing. Yeah. Empathizing with them.
You know, your words and thoughts are not going unheard. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes, exactly.
So,
yeah, in a kind of Obama-esque kind of way, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, he held this piece of paper facing outwards so the media could get a shot of it, or in a way that the media got a shot of.
Yeah.
With two hands, because, again, he can't hold something in one hand.
No, and not even a glass of water.
And kind of towards the camera, there was two fingers on his right hand and three fingers on his left hand holding it.
Okay.
And that, apparently, is some kind of evidence, because Q posted a list of stringers. When you see a Q post, there's multiple lines of each cryptic things that either are initials or just a few words. Everything's abbreviated so that you can interpret it in many different ways.
Yeah.
And one of the things, the end of it, was SIG, S-I-G, underscore 5:5 underscore read. In interpreting this, the Anons ignore everything about that except 5:5.
Right, yeah.
And assume that because 5 of his fingers were showing.
Oh, yeah. And there were 5 points on
number
the piece 5, of paper.
And the 5th point on the paper is, I hear you.
Yeah.
That is a direct message from the president telling the Anons he hears them.
Okay. Yeah.
To the extent that 5:5 has become a thing in Anons, on the cue boards, meaning I hear you, meaning kind of we are, you know, we are hearing what you're putting out, Mr. President.
Right. Oh, Jesus. Yeah. Okay. Fuck it all. It's nuts, isn't it?
I mean, this is numerology shit.
Yeah, exactly.
This is,
and it's kind of Masonic. It's that Masonic handshake secret society
thing. It's desperately shoehorning meaning into meaningless stuff.
Yeah.
This is, again, not proof.
No.
Of anything.
It's a bunch of coincidences rammed together.
Yeah.
In a way that...
It's not even a coincidence.
No.
It's not even a coincidence that he happened to hold a piece of paper that had a number 5 on it.
With 5 fingers.
Yeah. 5 fingers facing the... At one point, because of the 2 photos, one of them, he's just holding it with 3 fingers facing.
On 3.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which we can't even see what it says. But they didn't go for that. They didn't say 3 means something because he's got 3 fingers in this particular photo.
Yeah. Because that bit would make no sense because it would something effective?
Yeah.
That's
all right.
See, that's some Bates nonsense. So why aren't they doing that going, yeah, we do see something effective, Mr. President? Why aren't they doing 3:3? Yeah.
So.
Okay.
Moving on.
I love this one. Yeah.
Okay. June 17th, 2018, Father's Day.
This is going to make you so angry.
It really fucking does. Okay.
I love it. Okay.
At 12:48 p.m., Q posted the words Happy Father's Day.
Because it was
on
Father's Day. Okay. Bloody hell. Yeah.
At 12:55 p.m., seven minutes later. Yeah.
Why is that?
Trump posted, "Happy Father's Day."
Whoa! And there's this brilliant diagram.
Word for word.
Brilliant diagram. It says, since then they've shared the same message with a short time span a number of times. You get okay, and this is an instance of Q's way of letting us know he's working hand in hand with Donald Trump. And there's this elaborate little graphic where they've got Q's
post. They've got the Q post
with
Trump's
Happy
tweet.
Father's Day and the time thing with a box around it. And Happy Father's Day with a box around it. And then a line going to Donald Trump's tweet, which has got the American flag and Happy Father's Day in the middle of it. And then they've joined the two together. It's like like you have on a murder investigation.
Also, small thing.
Yeah.
He didn't tweet it. He retweeted a tweet from White House's official Twitter thing. He couldn't even fucking take the time to write Happy Father's Day on Father's Day. He just clicked the retweet button on another post.
Yeah. Because he can't do graphics.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, and the proof bit, the box says, some of it is difficult to read, but it says word for word plus 7 POTUS, in other words, 7 minutes later, how many days in a week? Enjoy the show, Q. There are 7 days in a week. There's 7 seas, 7 coins of the realm, 7 colours in the rainbow. 7's quite a common thing.
Yeah.
There's lots of different meanings for 7. I tell you what would have been more impressive is if he'd done it 17 minutes after, because 17 is Q in the fucking alphabet.
There you go.
Why pick 7?
Yeah.
7 days a week has nothing to do with Father's Day. It has nothing to do with Q. I tell you what.
And what's the coincidence about 7? Why did he wait 7 minutes?
No reason. They've both said Happy Father's Day on Father's Day. Yep. That's not a fucking coincidence.
For word.
I tell you what. December 25th last year.
Yeah. Did they both
3:11 p.m.
No.
Pat Maroon
of
the Tampa Bay Lightning, hockey player.
Oh my God, no.
Tweeted, Merry Christmas, everyone.
No. And then?
3:53, Scott Hoying of the a cappella group Pentatonix also tweeted word for word
the
Merry Christmas
thing.
Everyone.
How many minutes?
42
afterwards?
Minutes later. 42. As we all know, 42 minutes.
Is
42
is
the meaning to life, the universe, and everything.
Yeah.
So
also the length of Pentatonix's first album.
So that proves that something Pentatonix are
and in a weird coincidence.
In league with the Tampa Bay Lightning.
I came across Pentatonix for the version of Sound of Silence for the first time today.
Well, there you go. I mean, that's not a coincidence, obviously.
Coincidence? You believe in coincidence? Yeah. Question mark? How is that? Yeah. Yeah. That's just... They're obviously in league with each other.
So, again, I ask you to remember, these are
the best proofs.
Yeah.
Oh, these are the proofs. We haven't...
The fact that...
We're on the proofs. Yeah.
The fact that two people tweeted Happy Father's Day on Father's Day is one of their best proofs.
Can I just point out word for word?
Word for word, yeah.
Apostrophe and everything. You know, I didn't miss out the apostrophe. This was the day belonging to the father, and they put the apostrophe in the right place.
Yeah.
Word for word.
And to be fair, Trump only got the apostrophe right because it was a retweet.
Well, yeah, exactly. But not only did Q post Happy Father's Day, and then Trump did, but then Q posted, however many minutes after that, that he had posted the same thing.
Yeah.
As did probably...
Enjoy the show.
Yeah, I wonder how many other millions, I think I may well have... No, I wouldn't have tweeted that because my father's no longer alive. But I'm sure and certain I actually got that. I received that message of that day.
Happy Father's Day, yeah.
On my phone, word for word.
Of course, yeah, word for word.
Word for word, yeah, yeah.
All right, so...
Proof.
Moving
on.
This section is about John McCain.
Right.
Who Trump has hated ever since. Well, in fact, for a long time, because even before he put his thumb down and denied Obamacare being overturned, Trump was saying, oh, he's not a war hero. He's a war hero because he got captured. I like people who weren't captured.
Yeah.
And stuff like that. So Trump has been... had animus with John McCain for a long time.
John McCain's he's a proper politician.
He's a proper representative.
And he's a, you know, he's a good guy.
Someone with integrity.
Mm.
Q calls John McCain no name because in a post early on, he said, we don't like to say his name. And then Senator No Name is his code.
Okay.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
So... Post 436, December 22nd, 2017, in a post that laid out the plan to take down the president through the inverted commas insurance policy discovered in the Strzok Page text messages. The insurance policy was hinted at having begun with Hillary Clinton and the DNC's financing of the Steele dossier, as well as pointing to No Name in disseminating it to BuzzFeed and other media outlets. So I've looked at post 436, and it includes all of those elements in roughly that order.
Okay.
It includes a lot of other stuff as well.
Yeah.
But it does talk about, it does mention, in doesn't actually say insurance policy, it says insurance in quotes.
Okay.
The book says, the post is an example of future proofs past, phrase used often by Q, because we came to learn that HRC and the DNC did in fact pay for the dossier. And it was, in fact, the longtime associate of No Name who first gave the dossier to the press. This was also the first time an insurance policy was mentioned in the posts and months before it would be revealed in the media.
Mm-hmm.
So, that is reasonably compelling.
Yep.
If you take it on face value. But remember, Q tells us, or the book tells us, don't take our word for it.
Dude,
so I didn't take their word for it.
Yeah.
That was posted on December 22nd, 2017.
Yep.
Guardian headline on 25th of October, 2017, 2 months previously.
Yep.
Report, Clinton campaign and DNC helped fund Trump Russia Steele dossier.
There you go. Yeah.
So that news had been available publicly for at least 2 months.
Is that not therefore an example of past proves future?
Proves something I wrote about the stuff I found out in the past.
Yeah.
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 Now, the fact, if it was true, that the Post had said that an associate of No Name had disseminated it to BuzzFeed, again, that actually would have been the first time that had come out.
Hmm.
But it didn't say that. It just said... No Name, I think it said something like News Shop BuzzFeed or something like that. So you can read into that what you will. But basically, John McCain was the only real name that had been associated with the dossier because he gave it to Comey. He gave it to the FBI. Hillary Clinton had been associated with it, as I say, for 2 months now for funding it, or beginning the funding of it, at least. But yeah, McCain had given it to the FBI. So it's not completely unreasonable to believe that he might have also been involved, or someone he knew might have been involved, in leaking it to the press.
Right.
So, again, that wasn't common knowledge at the time. It also wasn't stated explicitly in Q's post. But here's the thing. The book says this was also the first time an insurance policy was mentioned in the posts, and months before it would be revealed in the media. Well, it wasn't, because CNN, yeah. December 13th, 2017, which was 9 days before this post,
yeah.
revealed the texts between Lisa Page and Peter Strzok, which said insurance policy about getting rid of Trump, essentially.
So not months before it was revealed.
That was quoted a week or so, over a week before.
Week prior. Yeah.
So none of that information that it's claimed is an example of future proofs past was stuff that we found out later. It's all stuff that was already known
already
at the time.
In the
all could
domain.
Be inferred by the stuff that people knew about McCain and the dossier.
But you'd have to and Q didn't infer that anyway, because he just put in...
No. Yeah, he just put... He linked the two.
Shop.
He said...
Yeah.
He said, you know, Senator No Name... Press shop or something like that, news shop, BuzzFeed. Yeah. So, McCain didn't shop it to BuzzFeed. His associate Kramer, David Kramer, did.
Yeah.
So, arguably, if he was an insider, and in fact, another interesting thing is, although it didn't come out at the time, David Kramer, who was I forget his role, but he was an associate of John McCain, and he had been questioned by a congressional committee on the 19th of December, so 3 days before this post, and to them had admitted talking to BuzzFeed about it. So if Q had this military clearance, he would have said David Kramer and not John McCain.
Yeah.
Because that would have been news that no one else had at that point.
Yeah.
It also says then that from that point forward, the name McCain was rarely spoken either by Q or the president. The president has said John McCain 42 times, by my count, since then, which is not rarely, especially since he died like half a year later. So
yeah, so he hasn't mentioned
you wouldn't
him
talk
since
about
then.
Him much afterwards anyway.
Yeah, because he's not active in politics anymore.
Yeah, and it says McCain all but disappeared from the public eye in December 2017, almost immediately after Q began posting. So Q began posting the beginning of November, so... almost 2 months after he began.
Which is almost immediately.
He disappeared.
If you're looking at geological time, blinking of an eye.
And he disappeared because he was having cancer treatment for his extremely aggressive brain cancer, his glioblastoma. Yeah. That's why he did... It wasn't like a mystery where he'd gone.
No, it's gone in the hospital. We knew where he was.
He was actually... Yeah, he was in Walter Reed in December. So, yeah. In February 11th, post 2732, Q posted a photo of No Name, and I want to say here, I'm not skipping over stuff. We're talking about all of these proofs, because I don't want you to think that maybe there are proofs that I couldn't find anything to debunk, and therefore maybe there's some truth to them or something like that. We're going, and this is why we split the chapter into two. We're going through every proof, because they're all bullshit.
And it's not like that there is a skip. It's just because the narrative just jumps. It doesn't. Uh-huh. It's not like
just
there's
goes
a gap,
straight from one to the other.
And we've just edited stuff out. It just goes straight from one to the other. The bit about let's just go back a little bit. Where it says from that point forward, the name McCain was rarely spoken either by Q or the president. There's this implied proof that because Q isn't talking about it and the president isn't talking about it. McCain, therefore they are the same person. Except he was talking about him, mentioned him 42 times off that, which, you know, in the grand scheme of how many words the president uses constantly is quite a, you know, small number. But
So
and after that paragraph, straight into
February 11th, 2018, post 732, Q posted a photo of No Name with ISIS rebels in Syria, along with, "We don't say his name, returning to primetime. Wonder if his so-called illness or condition will flare up," in reference to McCain taking a leave of absence and ultimately passing away.
Yeah.
Obviously, not in reference to him ultimately passing away. That is nothing to do with what Q said in that post. It says, as the mainstream story would go, because, you know, Q doesn't believe that McCain actually died of brain cancer, because it's any chance for a conspiracy theory. Again, Q knew before the media or anyone else did here. That's what it says. So
what?
Let's examine that. The post is, "We don't say his name," so John McCain, "returning to prime time, wonder if his so-called illness or condition will flare up." And that's February 11th, after McCain has been not really showing up to vote in Congress for a while because he's been having cancer treatment. So February 8th, 3 days prior to that, Meghan McCain, who by this time was a regular on, I think, The View is the thing she's on, talked about the fact that her father was not coming to Washington because of the flu, the seasonal flu at the time, 2018, because he was immune compromised because of his chemotherapy and his treatments.
Yep.
And that's why he hadn't been coming into to Washington. But he was, you know, he was doing okay. So that was 3 days before Q posted, he's coming, essentially, he'll be in the headlines again soon, returning to primetime, wonder if his illness will flare up. No further news stories about John McCain over the next few months or few weeks, certainly, about that. That didn't predict anything.
No.
Saying Q knew before the media or anyone else did, nothing happened.
No, apart from the
there were no stories about his illness flaring up or anything like that.
So what did he know? What, again, and it says, again, Q knew before the media or anyone else did. Well, but the media or anyone else, including his daughter?
And the book doesn't say that, you know, then in the media this happened. Just says Q knew before the media or anyone else did. Nothing happened. So
one could say there's no proof being offered there?
No proof of anything.
No.
No.
Just saying he knew before me isn't proof of the fact that he knew by their own stringent conditions stated further back that they need to do this, they're not doing it.
Yeah. So, here's the next one.
Yeah.
Numerous times throughout the year, Q published the regarding the name of nameless senator, including post 1706 that said, "No name returning to headlines." And days later, the media was awash in news covering his failing condition. Q was right every time. All right, so post 1706 was July 25th.
Right.
There was no news about John McCain and his failing health until he died in August of 2018.
Yep.
Though I checked, it says days later the media was awash in news covering his failing condition. Nobody covered his condition in the month prior to his death. It was like August 25th, he's died. That was it. And then everyone was sad.
Yeah.
Q was not right that time, let alone every time. That was not an example of him being right.
Being right. No. Q was, no. And just saying he was right. And then days, look, do the research, sheeple. It's not hard. They give all the stuff there, post 1706. Yeah. Look at it. And then you go, well, when did that come out? And let's have a look at all the media reports days later. How many days do you need? You know, 30?
If you were a little more cynical than I, you might note that July 19th happened to be the year anniversary of him being diagnosed with brain cancer. So that would be a reasonable time for the media to start talking about, you know, it's been a year since McCain was diagnosed with brain cancer. How's he doing? Follow up on that, there might be some media stories. No, there wasn't anything.
Nothing.
I mean, there was a few around that exact time, July 19th, but that was a week before Q posted, McCain will be back in the headlines.
Yeah.
and people will be talking about it.
Back in the headlines.
Yeah. Already. But the headlines were only, you know, it's a year since McCain was diagnosed.
Yeah. But he had been back. So if
briefly.
He just said no name returned,
and then there was nothing.
Returned to headlines, that would be true. But that then that's the past
that would be now
proving the
past.
Future. Yes. Yeah. 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 Which you know, isn't quite as clairvoyant.
It's unimpressive as proofs go.
Exactly, yeah. Yeah. You know, it's not so much a proof as a kind of general rule of thumb, really, isn't it?
Yeah.
If you say something after it has happened, that it had happened, then people just go, that's right.
Yeah.
You know, but even that in itself isn't a proof that the thing had happened.
Yeah, yeah.
All you're doing is reporting on the thing had happened.
It's as impressive as our bi-weekly headlines round where we tell you about stuff that's happened.
Yeah. That, yeah.
That's exactly how much proof they're offering here is stuff happened. Then a week later, we told you about it.
Yeah. And they don't even have the saving grace of it being slightly amusing.
No.
In the way that they present it, or incredulous in the way that they present it. Yeah.
Okay. No. So next, August 13th, 2018. This is Trump did a speech introducing the John McCain National Defense Authorization Act.
Yep.
And in his speech, he spoke for 28 minutes and didn't mention John McCain once. And it says, some may say it's coincidence, but going out of your way to not say a person's name, the name that adorns the bill you're hailing, is a little unusual. It is unusual, but it's not a coincidence. It's evidence that Trump is a petty fuck.
Yeah.
We know didn't that like McCain.
Yeah. So he didn't mention him, and he didn't want the fact that this would, you know, significantly invested military and war fighters.
Yeah, this is a man who reportedly they had to hide the battleship USS John McCain when Trump visited the Navy Yard where it was docked that he wasn't pissed off that someone he didn't like had a ship named after him.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's some may
he's
say
he's well known as a petty fuck.
It's no coincidence that he's this petty fuckery, because coincidentally the kind of stuff that a petty fuck would say. No, it's just the kind of stuff that a petty fuck would say.
Yeah.
So yeah. So when it says some may say it's a coincidence. No, they wouldn't.
No. Not a coincidence.
That's a Trumpism. That's you know, people may say, many people have said.
A lot of people
tell
crazy,
me.
But
Yeah.
So next section starts, how much proof do we need? As if he's offered some proof so far.
Yeah. How much more do you want? Well, we would like some.
We'll keep going.
One, any.
We could do this all day, basically. He doesn't say that, but you know, that's the implication.
Yeah. How many coincidences? How many coincidences before mathematically impossible? Well, if it, you see, all you've got to do is read The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy and the Infinite Improbability Drive to realize that actually it's not about, there at no point is there a number of coincidences, because if they're coincidences, they're coincidences rather
I tell you what,
a mathematical certainty.
As of today, as of earlier on today when I checked, Q has posted 4,564 times.
Right.
That in what's that? Less than 3 years, 2.5 years.
Yeah.
I would say it is mathematically improbable that one of those things couldn't realistically be linked to something that really happened in real life. In a way much more convincing than the stuff we've already been presented with.
Yeah.
It's amazing that they haven't got better proof than this. That's what's statistically improbable.
Yeah. You know, given the number of posts, what are the chances of us picking a much better set of proofs?
The number
than
of
this?
Times that Trump tweets and Q posts and stuff happens in the real world, you'd think just by chance something would have lined up like in their favour, that couldn't be debunked as easily as this.
Well,
it's amazing it hasn't happened more.
Yeah.
So,
what was that thing we did one year? Was that the New Year predictions?
Yeah.
Where we looked at whoever was the clairvoyant of coming up with a whole bunch of stuff, you know.
Psychic Patty or something.
Yes, that's right, yeah. Some famous people will fall over. Other people will get divorced. Some people will get caught in the rain without the applicable rain gear. You know, those kinds. It's that level
I tell
of
you what,
proof.
So far, the proofs that Q knows anything that's going to happen in the future or can predict anything is far less impressive than our patron Andrew Bimpson, who won our Deadpool last year.
Yeah. Yep.
Because he predicted like 10 people getting fired within 6 months from the Trump administration. That. I mean, what are the chances of that?
Yeah.
That he would pick those 10 people. I can't remember exactly how many it was, probably about 10.
Yeah.
I mean, that's properly, cleverly predicting. That's evidence of insider knowledge, arguably.
I think Andrea is Q. Just based
it's
on
possible.
That. Just based
I
on
wouldn't
that.
Put it's it past
much,
them.
Much stronger evidence
he's certainly
than presented here.
More worthy of following than Q.
Yeah. Yeah. He's a lot funnier as well.
Yeah, Q's got no sense of humour.
No.
So, okay, so, at the beginning of this paragraph, another impossible coincidence.
I love this. Yeah.
This is great. All right.
Yeah.
Post 521.
Impossible.
January 13th, 2018.
Yeah.
In which Q posted, "Do you trust," in capitals, "the chain of command?" Mm. 2 days later, on January 15th,
exactly 2 days later,
the U.S. Department of Defense tweeted a post regarding a program airing the night of the National Geographic that night on the National Geographic channel using the hashtag chain of command.
What the hell?
So, let's just break that down very briefly.
Yeah.
Once you open, if you're saying the president tweets the same thing that Q posted, again, in this case, not word for word, but using a reasonably well-known phrase, then once you open it up to any Twitter account associated with the government, that becomes a lot easier to find stuff.
Yeah.
In fact, just in the last month, Pete Buttigieg, Nancy Pelosi and Lou Dobbs have all tweeted the phrase chain of command.
Oh, my God.
And
and
Vote Vets, which is a Democrats veterans association.
No.
Have tweeted chain of command.
Merely a year and 7 months later.
That's just a few of the ones who are associated with politics in the last month. You know, there's loads of people have tweeted it, so it depends how wide you want to go.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's a reasonably common thing to say. Anyway.
And given that there was a program probably featuring the Department of Defense on the National Geographic Channel, it's probably going to be a documentary which is probably about or looking at aspects of the chain of command.
Do you know what that program was called?
Chain of Command. No. Then there's... Oh, my God. How did Q know that?
How could Q possibly know a program featuring the Department of Defense that was going to be on TV 2 days before it was on TV?
No.
In a world where we know there's no such thing as TV listings or the internet.
No.
That's impossible. That is an impossible coincidence.
It's an impossible coincidence.
Q couldn't possibly have thought that a thing featuring the army might have been retweeted by people in the army. Or, especially given that it was trailered for a while as, you know, unprecedented access by the Department of Defense was given for this documentary series.
Wow.
However, that's not where the coincidence ends.
Oh, my God.
Because when the program aired, there was a scene with a coffee mug with a big letter Q emblazoned on it.
Emblazoned.
So, I mean that, you know.
That's it.
Q.
Well, it says, and it goes on to say, as we are astounded in as much the same way, the next sentence is, again, some may suggest this is merely a coincidence, but we say, again, what are the chances, really?
Yeah. Yeah. So the sequence of events here is January 13th, Q posted a post that included the words chain of command.
Yeah.
January 15th, a program was on National Geographic called Chain of Command that featured the Army. The Department of Defense tweeted about it and used Chain of Command as a hashtag because that's the name of the fucking program.
Yeah, which had been trailed for a week prior to that.
Yeah, yeah. And on the program, there was a coffee mug with a letter Q on it.
Yeah.
Now, you may think, well, yeah, okay, the Q mug, bit of a coincidence. That is, all right, I'll give them that one. But I looked into that, and the bloke with the Q mug was the man who was featured on that episode, that first episode.
Yeah.
Captain Quincy Barlow of the 101st Airborne.
So to identify his mug from other people's mug, or they bought it for him for his birthday or something like that, they would kind of go, whose mug is that? Go, I don't know. How are we going to know? That's Quincy's mug. That is, yeah. So I'm going to make a coffee for Quincy. Which one's his? Oh, my God. Well, there you go. That's proof enough for me.
The question I have here, apart from the fact, obviously, bullshit, no proof of anything. what, in their minds, in Anon's minds, what is the sequence of events? Do they think that more than a year before... Because that's when this was filmed.
Yeah.
This was filmed over 18 months, this documentary series.
Right.
More than a year before Q even started posting, National Geographic, an independent company, filmed a guy called Quincy and specifically included a shot of his mug in their programme. What? In the hope that at some point in the future, someone called Q would start posting stuff?
Would reveal that you can only have this information available if you've got Q level clearance and are, you know, the new messiah when it comes to clearing out the cabal.
Yeah. So even if you assume everything they say about Q is true, what happened here?
Yeah.
Is he posting this? Is the extent of his knowledge that he knew that Quincy Barlow had a Q mug and thought people will see the Q and they'll know that's a message directly from me, like that's proof?
Yeah.
Or do they somehow imagine that he had the power to make the army station Quincy Barlow in Mosul for fighting this?
Yeah.
So that there would be someone with a Q name? What do they think happened?
And how do they think this provides any proof of the thing that they are positing, which is that Q is Trump or works for Trump or knows all the things that
are
going on?
Has any power of any kind or knows anything?
Yeah. Other than he's read the TV listings, you know, and when... You know, there's something comes out about the government. So there's an inside. There was like several years ago, and a behind the scenes insight documentary, fly on the wall at the Foreign Office when Boris Johnson was the foreign minister. Many people said, "What do you think of the Foreign Office? The Foreign Office sucks." You know, that kind of stuff. Yeah. They would have put that out a couple of days ahead of the program going live.
Yeah.
Or on the day that it went live in a past proves the future kind of way. What do they think this proves?
I don't know. And the thing is, Quincy Barlow was mentioned in the previews because he was the focus of the first episode. So if Q really was going for trying to convince people, maybe... Arguably, he saw the trailers for this program on Facebook on the 13th or the 12th when the trailers went on Facebook and thought, well, there's a guy called Quincy in it, like featured heavily in this episode.
Yeah.
Quincy starts with a Q. If I tweet about that, people will make that connection. And, you know, that's something.
Yeah.
And he got lucky that the guy had a Q mug. And it's not a Q. It's not, you know, Q is a... When you look at Q in terms of their videos or their, you know, iconography, there's some specific cues that people use with, right, like American flags on or on fire. And there's a few. It's not one of those. It's one of those initial mugs you get on Etsy.
Yeah.
It's, you know, because his name's Quincy.
Yeah. People would have bought him one for his birthday. Like his kids got him one for Father's Day.
So arguably
using exactly the same words.
They got lucky with the mug. But again, it's the numerology thing is if for some reason they didn't, it wasn't called Q, he was called K or something like that.
Yeah.
If you look on all manner of places all across the internet, you're going to find some things with K on them as well.
Yeah.
It's not proof that it's real. It's proof that Q is one of the letters of the alphabet.
See, I'm surprised that there's no link with Q in the first episode of Star Trek: The Next Generation, who predicts all sorts of stuff. Basically,
we're only three chapters into the
book. He's holding the whole of. He puts the whole of the human race on trial for its warring nature, and you know, it pops up in various guises throughout the series as a kind of, you know, omniscient being that, that does seem to have to kind of come in and out on a floating chair a lot, which doesn't seem very omniscient to me. But yeah, so, and you think, well, that's just a made-up character. But he's been on air since the 90s, and, you know, there's no reference to that. Surely that's past future stuff. Yeah, well, it is. He's predicting the future in the 23rd century. So it's 24th century.
So I'll say the most convincing proof so far that we've found is that there was a mug on a program that had a title that was included in one of Q's posts a few days earlier, and that mug had one of the letters on the alphabet, and it happened to be Q because the guy's name started with a Q. That's the most convincing proof. But I don't know what it's proof of. I don't know what they're going for with that.
And nor is it convincing.
It's not. No, but it's out of all of them so far.
that's the most convincing. See, insofar as it's got the combination of Q, which we as we know are the vital ingredients for a proof of a posting from Q, a tweet from
a government related Twitter account.
Yeah. Yeah. And something in real life. You see,
that says Q. That's the thing. Yeah.
And
that's the thing is the reason that that is the most convincing for me so far is that I can't find any way so far that the person doing the post on the 13th of January could have known that mug would be in the program.
You and I both as filmmakers, we'd kind of go, the opening shot I would want is, so who is Quincy? What is he?
Quincy Barlow is a captain in the 101st Airborne. He's on the ground in Mosul, basically kind of drone bombing.
Well, there you go. So you'd have
enemy fighters.
You'd have a whole phalanx of operatives walking past a dusty table. Mm-hmm. With a big mug with Q on it, and then his hand would come in and he'd lift it to his face, and you'd tilt up to his face, and he would
it
say,
was actually,
I'm Quincy Barlow, this is what I do.
I think it was possibly the closing shot of him back in his barracks or whatever, his house.
So we know who
it was a similar thing.
He'd pick it up and he'd go, phew, that's another busy day. Well, same again tomorrow. Yeah.
Yeah.
You'd know, wouldn't you? If there was a prop there, that would be...
You'd use it, definitely.
You'd use it.
You'd use it. I can see why they did it. Yeah. So you may suggest that this is merely a coincidence, but again, what are the chances?
Maybe it's a filmmaker. I think it's David Lynch.
Now, this is one of their favourite proofs.
Right.
It says, one of our favourite proofs was posted on May 10th, 2018. On that day, Q posted on his private board posts numbered 72 through 76.
This is going to make you so angry.
This is on his private board. This is separate to 8chan.
This is like
it's
the Patreon
It's a separate
board.
Section called... Yeah. Yeah, it's a separate section called Patriots Fight. Now, he also posted all of these posts on 8chan, but the number on 8chan by this point was in the thousands, so... That doesn't fit in.
No.
But it was the 74th post on Patriots Fight. Right.
Interesting. Yes, because we're specifically up to 521 in January. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So, on that day, Trump had made a deal with North Korea that to release the secure the release of three American prisoners being held there.
Yeah.
President Trump posted on his Twitter on the day of release a video of three hostages returning home, and in that video, this is at Andrews Air Force Base. The hostages got off the plane. Trump met with the South Koreans and or North Koreans, whatever. And in that video, there were two fire trucks with their booms extended, holding a large American flag between them.
Mm-hmm.
That's true. That's all on the video.
Yep.
The same day, Q posted a picture of an American flag, post 74 on Patriots Fight, with the words Castle Lock below. In another astounding coincidence, as if there's, you know, already been a coincidence in here.
Yeah.
And the fire truck. Yeah. The fire truck holding the flag on the right when the hostages came home had a large Q 74 on the side of it. That, my friends, is too coincidental for our taste. All right.
Well,
so,
it clearly isn't, because you've had barely tasty coincidences up till now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Pretty compelling, I think.
Okay. I think.
Right.
I am compelled.
So, on this day, Q posted five posts. One of them was post 74 with an American flag, right?
On his private bit.
Yeah. And Trump tweeted a video with the American flag being held up by Q-74 written on the side of a fire truck. I mean, that is a coincidence.
Yeah.
You've got to give him that.
Yeah.
Now, I'll just go a little bit further before I start talking about why this is not true.
It irritates you.
Immensely.
Yeah.
Okay. So, there have been many times in the past year where people in the growing audience have lashed out against Q, throwing doubt on our legitimacy. How dare they, frankly? But what are the odds that on a day Q is publishing post 72 through 76, there would be a video released by President Trump that has Q-74 on it? What are the odds of that? Surely, I don't know. Due to all the pushback we've received since this movement was began, we did due diligence every single time Q's validity was in question, with the Q-74 being no exception. In order to verify the possibility that a fire truck would be labelled Q-74, hours were spent poring over images of fire trucks, and yet we were unable to find any fire trucks at all that had one letter and two digits. Fire trucks we found had three or four letters in their identifier. So the fact that the fire truck had Q-74 on it is odd enough.
Yeah.
Add to that the fact that the Q-74 was the middle post that day.
Yeah.
And the chances are nearly impossible.
Oh, my God.
So there you go.
They are.
The middle post, which has an as yet unstated significance. was
Q-74. The same number. But only on the private account, because we've been the thousands.
Yeah, because it was a totally different number on the standard 8chan account.
And unless you did some math, you know, you do the math. Yeah, unless you did some numerology, you would never get there. Yeah,
no.
They did pore over several images of fire trucks.
Hours they spent.
Oh, okay, yeah,
just
hours.
Just to prove that Q-74 would be a really weird thing to write on the side of a fire truck.
Because they've done diligence every single time the validity is in question.
Because they're not idiots. They're not just accepting this stuff because it's just, you know, they are
the research.
Careful.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, first of all, the American flag with Castle Lock underneath it wasn't post Q-74, it was post 75. They've just lied about that.
Right. What does Castle Lock even mean?
Well, I couldn't find any actual meaning for it.
Right.
Some anons have theorised that it's about chess, when the king is protected by castling.
Okay.
But Castle Lock isn't the thing.
No. It
has nothing to do with the hostages being released or fire trucks or anything like that.
Nah.
What
that prompts me to do is to just come up with a string of, you know, portentous words and do a series of fake posts.
Oh, you
using K.
Following.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Using K,
so,
basing it on Rip Torn's character from Men in Black, and just doing that.
Yeah. Now, although there were 5 posts that day on his private thing, there were 11 posts that day on 8chan. So this was just one of 11. The fact that it says the fact this was the middle post suggests that the middle post has some significance. Now, if you have 5 posts, arguably 3 of those are significant. You could have, if it was the first post, you could have said, and it was the first post that day.
Yeah.
Or, and it was the last post that day. So you've got a three out of five chance of it being significant.
Yeah.
You could do.
Yeah.
You've got at least a 3 out of 5 chance of it being significant. And if it isn't, if it was second, you just don't mention that.
No.
So you're guaranteed to be in a significant section of the 5 posts that day. And they got the fucking number wrong. It's post 75. It wasn't even post 74. Now, if they spent hours poring over pictures of fire trucks and couldn't find any that had one letter and 2 digits.
How long did you spend?
I spent about 5 minutes. And part of that was because I figured out, through a little bit of research, why a fire truck might have Q on it.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Because fire trucks are often designated with what they are, like a ladder truck that doesn't have water pumps. It just gets people up high places to get people out of buildings.
Yeah.
Has L's on it sometimes.
Okay.
A Q is a quint, which means it has quintuple purposes. It has water tank, pump, hose, an aerial device and ground ladders. It's like the best fire truck you can get because
it does
Thunderbird
2. Yeah.
So there's loads of quints. And if you just search for quint fire trucks, you find quite a few that have Q on them and a number, like Q27 in Buffalo Grove in the Chicago area, or Q97 in Lake Elsinore, California. Or there's 2 Q1s in Oklahoma, in El Reno and Ardmore. There's Qs all over the fucking place if you search for the right thing.
Yes.
And the fact that Andrews Air Force Base have a quint that is quint 74, and they've had that for at least it's like 6 years because there's posts on social media from 2014 that existed. All that potentially means is that Q saw this video, saw Q74 and thought, ooh, I'm coming up to near 74 on my private board.
Yeah.
So if I post there, and he didn't even get the fucking number right. He posted the flag on 75. They couldn't even do that right.
So what that indicates to me is he's not doing what the QAnon people are reading into it. It's a bit like saying, well, what Shakespeare was really saying, and you go, well, we've got no idea.
Yeah.
He wrote it 500 years ago. He probably didn't intend that at all.
But that's the thing, is the Q posts are written so that you can interpret them in just any given way. And they still can't even do that.
It's just brilliant. And you kind of go, oh, yeah, that's, yeah. If it was Q74 and he put it there, these are their best proofs. Yes, we must return to that each time. That this is the stuff that's going to convince you.
If you don't do any research at all and you just listen to what they're saying,
I can see why you might think,
well, obviously that, you know, he somehow had some ability to make a fire truck with Q74 happen and on the same day as he came up to 74 posts on his Q account.
Yeah.
And then posted a flag. You know, that's the extent of his power, arguably.
Yeah.
And it definitely didn't happen.
Yeah.
And they definitely, you know, Q and then 2 numbers are quite common.
Yeah. And that you would think, actually, so are they, up to in my mind, I'm thinking, well, there must be 73 others. If that's Q74, where's the
weirdly, rest of them? The way that fire trucks seem to be numbered isn't. It's a bit more like sports teams than the number of fire trucks you have.
Right.
It's like, you know, an organizer, a township or a city or a Air Force Base or whatever gets a fire truck and they say, all right, well, let's just call this 168 or something. Oh. You know, it doesn't seem like the fire truck company has made this 173, send that one out, that 174.
Yeah.
It doesn't seem to be like that unless they're because, like I say, there's two Q1s just in Oklahoma. So,
oh, okay, yeah,
you know,
and not everybody's got a Q because you
don't, well, you have to pay extra for a Q.
Well, yeah, because yeah.
Otherwise
you're
getting out.
On it. Yeah,
yeah, exactly.
Or a P for pump or whatever.
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. So, this is the last one that we're doing today.
See, if that wasn't enough proof, they pile in another one. This is the corker.
Yeah, remember, that last one ended with the chances are nearly impossible that that was a coincidence, that they didn't quite get the number right and that there's loads of fire trucks with that those similar numbers on. Okay.
Well, you've only got their word for it that it's nearly impossible. Probably not. It's just highly improbable. Well, given the fact they got it completely wrong, it's utterly impossible that it would be a coincidence.
But this
one isn't. Yeah.
This is an example of Q predicting exactly what Trump was going to say 2 weeks before he said it.
Ah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, April 24th, 2018, post 1254, Q posted, Iran is next. Marker in square brackets. Reread. POTUS today. And in quotes, mark it down. And in quotes again, bigger problems than ever before. SIG to Iran, Q. That's the post, right?
Okay, yep.
Well, coincidentally,
yeah.
Although, you know, that's a bit of tongue-in-cheek because I don't think Q thinks it's a coincidence.
Yeah.
Or the people writing this. Approximately 2 weeks later on May 8th, 2018, President Trump gave remarks on the Joint Comprehensive Plan of Action regarding Iran. And in that speech, he says, quote, it will have bigger problems than it has ever had before.
Ooh.
Once again, where Q gave us foreknowledge of a statement that President Trump was going to make ahead of time.
So can I just point out we haven't had that yet? So how is this once again?
No. But in this instance, right, I mean, they're talking about, it specifically talks about Iran in the post.
Yeah.
It says bigger problems than ever before.
Yeah.
And that's what Trump said 2 weeks later, pretty much, not exactly those words. He didn't say it word for word, but he said something similar.
Yeah.
And it's 2 weeks before he said it. So how could Q possibly have known?
No, without him being Trump or somebody with Q clearance.
Yeah.
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 So what do you think? How did he do that? That's proper psychic shit.
Well, only that Iran was in the headlines and that was kind of...
Yeah, but saying bigger problems than ever before, like that quote, in quotes, and that's like what Trump said, you know.
Mm.
I mean...
Mm. Because Trump had never said that before in his life ever about any other country.
I mean
any other leader.
He did say it. I mean, the day that Q posted that about Iran.
Right.
I mean, he did specifically say, "Mark it down. Iran will have bigger problems than ever before if."
Yeah.
So,
and we know that he's not a man with a large vocabulary.
No.
And when he hits upon a phrase that he enjoys, he will keep saying it.
Yeah.
Thinking that makes him presidential.
In the post, the thing it says before, the two quotes, because there's two quotes, mark it down, bigger problems than ever before.
Yeah.
The line before that is...
It's POTUS today. Yeah. And then reread. Yeah.
Yeah. So, Q... is literally quoting what the president said in a press conference with Emmanuel Macron that day. He's not predicting what he's going to say in a couple of weeks. He's writing down the words Trump said on TV.
He's doing reporting.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's not predictive. That is not foreknowledge.
Yeah.
Ahead of time.
So this is like shorthand for writing up a news report, isn't it?
Yeah.
Iran is next. Reread the report.
POTUS today. Mark it down.
SIG to Iran. What's the SIG?
All this is evidence of is that Trump is a repetitive idiot who uses the same phrases from time to time.
Yeah.
These are the best proofs. That Q can post something Trump has already said on TV.
Yeah, and then Trump says it again Because once it goes, what Trump does is kind of group things together. He said, okay, yeah, Iran, I've got to talk about biggest problems ever. North Korea, that's the rocket guy that I quite like. Russia can do no wrong. You know, that kind of stuff. Yeah, that's how he does it. So when he's talking about Iran, that's what he will say.
Yeah.
Coronavirus,
if I wrote
China.
If I wrote down wheels and walls, two things that never go obsolete, never go out of fashion.
Yeah.
If I wrote that down, I guarantee Trump will say that sometime in the next year.
Yeah.
Because he said it like 30 times in the last couple of months.
Yeah.
So he's bound to say it again.
So
that's not me predicting
yeah.
him saying it.
No.
I mean, I literally am predicting that he will say it.
He will say it, yeah.
But if I wrote it down, all I'm doing is writing down stuff he said, especially if I preface it with POTUS today.
Yeah. Yeah.
They are working really, really hard to misinterpret quite clear, in that case,
yeah.
stuff that Q is saying as something else that proves Q's
it's
truth.
The context that you're reading it in. So if you read it as going, well, so this is Q saying, oh, look, Iran is next. Reread what POTUS said today. Mark it down. Bigger problems than before. SIG or SIG to Iran? Who's that? What is that?
Signal, maybe, to Iran, don't know.
Yeah.
Not clear, know. You know.
So that's...
It doesn't really matter, does it? Because you can ignore all the bits that don't fit into what you want to say.
There you go. And marker, what is marker? You go, oh, mark this. You know, that's perhaps he's just going, oh, yeah, must put a marker in the page. It's just, it has no portent unless you make it portentous. Unless you're attributing... you know, amazing clairvoyant powers to everything Q says, there are no clairvoyant powers. If you think there are, you will find them. You know, if you think this is large and meaningful, you'll put large meaning in there.
And again, it's stunning that they haven't found more predictive stuff. It's stunning that they can't point to something where he's put a set of initials next to a country or something, like a week before that country was bombed and it was that person's fault or something like that. You know,
or the mass
arrests. So many
arrests.
Things happen.
Yeah.
That's the thing.
Yeah.
When you... there was a... I want to say Detroit. There was a situation in Detroit where a baby fell out of a window. This was in the early 1900s.
Mm-hmm.
And landed on a guy sweeping the street. And both were fine.
Yeah.
Him being there saved the baby. He was all right. And it happened again. Same baby, same window, same person sweeping the street a year later.
Wow.
That's ridiculous coincidence.
Yeah.
But when you think about the number of things that are happening every day, everywhere in the entire world, of course stuff like that is going to happen.
Yeah.
Of course you're eventually going to have stuff that seems impossible. Because there's so much happening, and yet they still can't find anything even vaguely convincing in this stuff.
Yeah, it's a bit like, Groundhog Day reduces coincidence to the fact that he's been there living the same day over and over and over. So of course, it's no coincidence that he's there to catch the kid dropping out the tree, and there with the trolley jack to crank up the car with a flat tire. You know, they think it's a coincidence, but he's lived it 1,000 times. And of course, if you look at these things in isolation, they do look fantastic, because what you're doing is pulling out those two things of babies falling out of things. My uncle Alan, my dad's brother, hitchhiked across America twice, about 5 years apart. He hitched a ride. He was going east to west. He hitched a ride, got a ride with one guy, and then he hitched a ride 5 years later going west to east, got a ride with the same guy. And you go, of course, when you talk about it, and you go, well, okay, so how many people are hitching rides? How many people are likely to pick up hitchhikers? Probably people that have picked up hitchhikers before. So if my Uncle Alan was there hitchhiking... every week or every month, he would probably been picked up every week or every month. But because he was just there 5 years apart, it feels like an extraordinary story, because you're just doing the, well, okay, let's go interview that guy. Oh, yeah, I always pick up hitchhikers. I always pick up the tourists. Yeah. You know,
It's pretty extraordinary. But it's fine that it's extraordinary. It's not evidence of something supernatural.
Exactly.
In this case, of someone with top secret military clearance.
Yeah.
None of this even approaches the barest portion of evidence that Q knows anything, let alone stuff we don't know.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the thing. Yeah. It's the stuff that he knows, we all know. And if you do the research, sheeple, you can just work it. You just go, well, he knew that because that was the day that that was said, or that was the day that the program went out. Or yes, if you slant it particularly, then you can make the numbers match. And then if you don't look in the right place, you can't find. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. If you misinterpret stuff he said, if you think Hister means Hitler instead of the Roman name for the Danube, then you can make it mean something else.
Yeah.
And there's enough of them. You know, he wrote God knows how many quatrains. If you just ignore all the ones that you can't make fit anything, then he's like a super predictive genius.
Yeah.
And 4,500 and something posts Q has done.
Yeah.
And there's an army, a digital army, like Flynn said, of people looking at all the posts, looking at everything that's happening in the world, looking at everything that Trump tweets and trying to make it fit.
Yeah. And
again, it's stunning that they haven't come up with anything.
Yeah, and no two of the QAnons have come up with the same meaning.
Uh-huh.
Because otherwise it would be patently clear. And they would all jump on and go, all of them would just go, look, this is what it means. Yeah. Let's all rise up and, you know, make arrests and clear the cabal.
So
nobody's done.
We are 2.5 chapters in.
Yeah.
So far, I'm not convinced. I don't know about you.
Are you not? No. Despite the fact that they've said this is going to convince you, we are convinced.
Yeah, yeah. Well, these are their best proofs.
Despite the fact,
not just throwing any old shit out there.
No, they're the best ones. These are gold. They're as good as gold. Well,
mm-hmm.
they're not. And they're also saying, what they're doing is what they said at the beginning, we will just give you so many of these things that the sheer weight of it will convince you. Well, none of them are convincingly weighty so far. Not one of them. So and it seems to me that
plural
as they go,
bullshit anecdotes is not data.
Nice. Much less proof. Yeah. And it seems to me that as they get further and further on, they're taking less and less trouble because they know people will be more and more convinced. So all they've just got to go is, Q said this, Trump said that. Q and Trump use the same letter when addressing the definite article.
Yeah.
They use the letter T at the beginning of this sentence. At the end of the sentence, they use the same period. Right there, exactly the same. Uh-huh. You know, it's going to get down to that. And if you're convinced, you just go, well, there you go. There's more proof. More. Proof of what? Proof of what? What's the motive? It's just brilliant. If Q is completely aware that this is what's happening, and he must be laughing up his sleeve constantly.
I think he's just as mad as they are.
Does he think? I don't know.
He's just shoving shit out there.
And
we're only 2.5 chapters in. We're only tenth of the way through, something like that.
Oh,
a bit more in, maybe.
Yeah.
But I'm starting to think it's a troll. I'm starting to think it's someone who thinks Trump supporters are fucking idiots. They'll believe anything I say. Yeah. So
I'm just going to say anything.
Let's just have some fun with them. I definitely don't believe at the moment that it is a person with actual clearance.
No.
Not on the
evidence of the best proofs that it is.
No. I'm not convinced it's someone who believes what he's saying. I think it's someone taking the piss.
Yeah.
That's my opinion at the moment.
Yeah.
But I have an open mind because I'm a good skeptic and I am prepared to be swayed by convincing evidence.
Yeah. Well, that's yeah, exactly. We're not going to let our cognitive bias that, you know, they're all idiots and this guy's taking them for a ride get in the way. If they come up with some convincing proof, and we're only halfway through the chapter, they may well do
that. Yeah, there could be, you know, there could be anything coming up.
They've got, you know, 10 or so pages to go. They, you know, they could be saving the best till last. No.
Let's hope
because
so.
They opened with, no, they opened with the best proof, didn't they?
That's, do you think?
This, yeah, well, he said, this is the one. You know, the one where before he was even tweeting, they were convinced.
No, he said that's my first
proof. Oh, did he not?
For myself, the first proof, yeah.
Okay. Right.
I'm just going to
skip forward
described,
and see if they use the word. This is it. This is the clincher.
They've described some of them as my favourite or one of the best or, right, you know, another impossible coincidence.
Yeah. 17.
But I don't.
A lot. Yeah.
I don't think they've said so far anything about.
And now here's the one.
This is it. This is the one that will convince you.
Yeah. No. No, he doesn't. No, I'm not seeing the sentence. This is it. No.
Yeah. Okay, so we will be back with more of this shit.
It's so much fun,
2 weeks' time. It's more fun, to be fair, than the Woodward thing, which was fine. It was interesting.
Yeah.
But yeah.
This is interesting on another level. Yeah. This is kind of like examination time, really, isn't it? Because what this does is puts to the test all of the fallacies that we've been talking about in the fallacious Trump show. You know, however many, 53 of them at our fingertips. And we can use that kind of, hopefully, the cognitive bias-free stuff, or at least we know what our cognitive biases are. Yeah. And looking at this stuff with, okay, so here are the tools at our disposal. We're waiting to be convinced, but can I just point out that what you've just done there is a bit of a fallacy, so therefore what you're saying is a valid argument isn't actually a valid argument. So let's move on to the next one. So it kind of feels like, you know, apart from the fact that we think these guys are batshit crazy, we're not letting that get in the way of any possibility that they might convince us of the existence of Q as a military leader or Trump or, you know, the good guys even. So, yeah, we will return for the second half of this chapter. but, yeah, if you want to read along, we're on page 21. So, read 22. And if you've got any thoughts, any hopes, fears, worries, intentions of joining the movement of the Great Awakening, please keep that to yourself. But yeah, let us know whether you
do let us know if you are listening to this, because although we get analytics for the regular podcast and we kind of have an idea of how many people listen to that, we don't actually know if people are listening to the Patreon stuff. I know that a couple of people on Facebook have said that they enjoyed the first episode, so that's great. But yeah, do let us know if you're listening to this.
Yeah, jump onto Facebook.
Or if we're just kind of talking into the wind.
Or leave us a review or, you know, send us a tweet, post something onto 8chan, you know.
Yeah.
We'll interpret it in many ways. Yeah.
All right. See you next time.
See you next time.
And that's the end of that chapter.